This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here alongside my sister, Mare Bear. How are you?
What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, and we are back here to cover The Office after our interlude at Christmas. And this week, we are covering Season 4, Episodes 7 and 8, Survivor Man, and what's the other
one? Deposition.
The Deposition. All right, but before we jump into this week's podcast, yes. Mary, tell us what we missed on the last edition when we covered The Office.
Sure. So on our last Office coverage, we covered a local ad and branch wars. So local ad was essentially Dunder Mifflin creating a local commercial. And Michael wanting to take creative lead on it. So he put his money where his mouth was, and they were able to create their own commercial, which corporate shot down.
Discarded.
But, you know, in the end, it actually was a really good commercial.
Yeah.
As ridiculous as it was.
As local ads go, it was pretty good.
Yeah, as local ads.
Because we've seen a number of them around this area.
Yeah, for sure. That was...
It was a feel-good ad.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And then the next one was Branch Wars, where Stanley was getting...
Poached
by Karen Filippelli in
back.
Utica.
Utica. Nobody ever said Utica like that.
Nope.
Utica.
So, Dwight and Michael decide that they're going to trick Jim into going and doing a panty raid on Utica, where they dress up in warehouse workers' uniforms. Dwight really wanted to bomb the place.
He had a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah. And basically, Karen found out what they were trying to do. They destroyed an industrial copier.
Yeah, Dwight and Michael dropped it on themselves down a stairwell.
Dwight pissed in a can in the car on the way there.
Sliced his dick.
Yeah. You're making me spray! I think I cut my penis on the lid. Basically, Michael, now this is a good line, because he's going to burn Utica to the ground if she harms a hair on Stanley's head. Yeah. And essentially, Karen gets her comeuppance.
Yeah, on Jim.
On Jim. And she's reams like, him. Yeah, she's like, is this really what you want to be doing? If you just want to see me, he's like, oh, I don't want to see you. And she just unleashes it on him, which good
and
for
it's
you.
It's nice because, like, Jim made that face that
exactly.
we tweeted out.
Good for you, yeah. Karen Filippelli. Good for you. And Stanley ends up staying because
he was bluffing.
He was. Just wanted more money.
Yeah, and he's not getting it. But he also doesn't want to go through the effort of moving to Utica. So, awesome.
So, anyway, now we are on Season 4, Episode 7, Survivor Man. Dude, are you ready to take it away?
Yeah, before we get into these, I just want to say this week was a slog.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy, per se.
No, it was enjoyable. It just wasn't, like,
it wasn't
great.
No, I didn't like, especially the one we're about to get into. I may, like, eviscerate. Like, I don't even think I'm mad. I'm just disappointed. You know? Like, it's one of those. Like, when your parent says that to you.
Oh, my like, God. It cuts through your heart.
That's what I am. I'm like, when Dad would find me doing something I wasn't supposed to do. I'm not just mad. I'm disappointed in you. You carry the family name. You know?
Dad said that?
Oh, he said that a few times. Like, you carry the family name. You know? Like
Jesus Christ.
You didn't do the things I did, I guess.
Apparently not.
So, anyway, this is Survivor Man.
Yes.
And the cold open's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
It opens up with Toby. He's in the break room with Meredith, Pam, and Oscar and talking about a camping retreat he went on with Ryan and a bunch of other guys from corporate.
The branch managers.
Yeah. So
no, the other branch managers.
Oh, that's branch manager. Okay, so that they could get to know each other, so to speak. It's one of those, that, like, you hear about that stuff happening in corporate. So I'm glad they kind of lampooned it because it is kind of a... low-hanging fruit.
It is.
You know?
It's absolutely ridiculous, too.
Yeah. And Michael, Pam does a talking ad where she explains that Michael wasn't invited, that they already know enough about him. So Michael comes into the break room, and he's just, like, lingering, like, going through the fridge, or, like, you know.
Trying to overhear what Toby's saying. No more s'mores.
Yeah, Toby, at one point, is talking about how they had s'mores. He goes, I had so many, I had to say, no more s'mores.
No more s'mores.
He's so uncharismatic.
Oh, God.
And everybody, like, it's funny, because everybody's laughing at his lame joke.
Yes, like, and I was trying to think back, like.
They're kissing up to Toby.
Well, not even that. I think it's more like,
being
were
nice.
There times when you, like, politely laughed at somebody's unfunny joke? And I thought to myself, I was like, Oh my God, yeah. Like, yeah. Somebody would make an offhand comment. It's like, and then you walk away and you're like, God damn it, he's such a fucking idiot.
That's cold.
So, no, it does. Yeah, no, that does happen.
It happens more or less with acquaintances.
Yeah.
Like people when you're out and you run into somebody and you're like, this fucking guy.
Yeah, he won't stop talking to me.
That happened to me a few years ago, actually. If you remember, we were out, this was probably 2 years ago, and we ran into a guy who our brother went to high school with. I'm like, this fucking guy, I barely even know. And he like overheard me.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing. This fucking guy, I don't even fucking recognize him. I just like shat all over this guy. But anyway.
Kevin's a dick.
I was that night. So Toby, so Michael's just like, at one point, he's just like, he like leaves in a huff and that. And Toby's like sunburned.
He's very sunburned.
Very red. He looks like a tomato.
I have to say, though, I did love Phyllis's talking head where she's like, she literally reiterates what Pam says. Like, Michael wasn't invited, but she does this, like, Grinch grin at the end. Like,
she's, like, turning the knife like, he's an ass.
Yeah.
And Toby's doing a talking head, and he gets about two words in, and you hear, dun, 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 Michael bangs on the window of the conference room. Like, nobody cares, Toby.
Yeah. I need that room sometime today.
Get out of there. Wrap it up. So then we go into the opening. The show proper opens up with Michael in his office with Jim. And he's asking him hypothetically to go camping.
Yeah.
Like, and Jim says yes, because he knows Michael's going to ask him in real life. And Jim just says, no.
Yeah, I can't. I'm busy. Yeah. I'm donating blood again.
So then Michael says, the whole Toby camping thing is a little, and he throws his wrist out.
Yes.
And Jim goes, well, what's that mean? And Michael just says, broken mountain.
Broken mountain, yeah.
Instead of broke back mountain. So he's implying that it's a little, as the kids in high school might say in the 80s, a little gay.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Michael's trying to get across, that it's not manly or masculine. And
to go out with a group of other men.
To invoke Brokeback Mountain pretty much gets that
point. Yeah.
And, like, throwing the wrists around. Like, Michael is not politically correct at all.
Yeah, and he's not subtle.
He's not subtle. Oh, God, no, he's not subtle. So he's, like, being, like, you know, a douche about that.
Yeah.
And he says, real men camp by themselves under the stars, you know. And, like, it reminded me of the scene in Step Brothers when he's, like, we're men. We live together. We shit with the door open and talk about pussy and make our own beef jerky.
Ew.
And, like, the dad's just like, we've literally never done any of those things. Like, that's, like, the way Michael's carrying
shit
on.
Shit with the door open.
So then Michael says, I want to get away from the office politics and the fluorescent lighting and the asbestos. Yes. And that's when Jim says, he's like, wait, what?
I thought we took care of that.
Michael just ignores it and keeps plowing in. So he does a talking head where he talks about a show. And it's pretty much sounds like Bear Grylls, where, like, a guy goes out in the wild with, like, a knife and, like, survives, like, by himself and that. So then he asks...
That was back when him and Jan had satellite TV.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because they had to cut around the edges, cut the fat.
Yeah.
So he asks Dwight for duct tape and hunting knives. And Dwight produces an arsenal, basically. He unrolls this thing of, like, differently sized and, like, serrated edged knives and shit.
This is one of my, one of the better scenes of this entire
episode.
When
Dwight does a talking head where he talks about how he keeps weapons around the office.
Hidden now, around the office.
This is, like, kind of a follow-up to, because we thought Toby confiscated all, Toby only got the ones at his desk.
Yep.
So we see Dwight, he's got size, like Raphael behind the water cooler. He's got a knife that, where is the knife?
It's a filing cabinet under the file, Mr. A knife.
Yeah, and he just pulls it out of the cabinet. There's a fucking samurai sword in the ceiling.
Yep.
And then he pulls a blowgun out of the toilet.
Yeah, poison darts!
Yeah, and he proceeds to use it. Oh. Like blowing toilet water. He pulls it out of the tank. I mean, it's not shit water.
But still.
It's still not proper.
It's not good water.
It's not delightful.
No.
And
smells like a toilet.
It's so gross. So Michael then explains his plan to Pam. That's actually a tongue twister. Dwight is going to drop him off in the wilderness to die or survive.
The Pennsylvania wilderness.
Yes. Which, to be honest, is not the Yukon.
Yeah.
But, like, Michael has, like, duct tape, a knife, and, like, a bag of, like, Cheerios.
Oh, it looked like, like granola.
Yeah, it looked like either cereal or like gerbil food or something.
Yeah.
And he tells Pam, like, he's going to need a personal day the next day and maybe the next day. And he leaves Jim in charge.
God.
So then Dwight does a very blunt talking head where he says he doesn't think Michael can handle it. Like, Michael's not going to survive. So now we go out and they're in Dwight's car driving. And Michael is
No, they're in the PT Cruiser.
Oh, that's right.
That was way too nice to be his.
You're right.
His car. Yeah.
So they're in the PT Cruiser, and Michael is like going over the scenario to the camera about how Dwight is going to be a serial killer, leaving him for dead in the forest. And as he's going through it, Dwight is like, "No, no. If I was a real serial killer, I'd make sure you were dead.
I'd never let you survive."
And what does he call himself?
He says, "If I was a serial killer, I would remove all of your teeth and cut the fingertips off so that nobody would be able to identify you. They'd call me the Overkill Killer."
and that's when, like, Michael says, he's like, "You're creepier than a real serial killer." So then Michael's blindfolding himself so he can go
with his tie.
Yeah, so he can go in disoriented. And Dwight smacks him with his shoe. He's like, "For realism, you should be unconscious." And Michael's like, "No, stop. Dwight, let me have one thing in my life." Like, he's all like bitching about it. So now we go back to the office, and Angela approaches Jim about a birthday cake for Creed.
Yes.
And that it's birthday month, because Oscar and I think Phyllis also, Meredith, has a birthday that month. And Jim is like, "Well, you know, how about we just have one big shared party for birthday month?"
Yeah.
And like then he does a talking head explaining how Mike runs birthdays. And they show like a collage, or not collage, a montage of Michael giving gag gifts. He's with Stanley. Stanley has a cake, and he's like,
he's
smiling.
Actually smiling.
He's happy. And Michael points to his crow's feet and says, "Blacks do crack.
Not crack.
They don't smoke crack."
Yeah.
And like Stanley's face. Then we see like Michael has a blow-up doll, and it turns into like Kevin is waffling Dwight with the blow-up doll, just like beating on him, and Michael's just laughing.
Yep.
And then
And he sings the high harmony and the birthday song that he loves surprises.
Yeah, and he's jumping out of
literally
like, scaring
Oscar's
people.
Oscar's down on his like on his head. He landed on his head. Phyllis is in her car.
He's
and
in
he
her
pops
car.
Up from
he's,
her car
he's,
seat.
He's in her car with her and scares her. It's fucking ridiculous. And like at one point, he does like the classic laugh of Michael when like he's the only one who finds it funny, where he's like ha ha ha, like he has like this belly laugh he does. So. Angela hates this idea naturally.
Yes.
And Pam comes over to Jim like, "Oh, you're shaking things up, huh?" And he thinks it's a good idea. And Pam's like, "Eh, no.
Yeah, we'll see."
Yeah, like she kind of knows like these people are not going to accept this.
Mm-mm.
Don't try to change shit. Yeah. Especially when it's like your first 5 minutes.
First 5 minutes and you want to combine people's birthdays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not going to
There's only 13 of you in the office. Can't give one person a special day?
No.
Jesus Christ, Jim.
And we'll find out the plan later.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike and Dwight arrive near the woods, and Dwight leads him in and makes Michael walk through like bushes and shit like that.
He's on the path, and he's like, "Oh, it's just bushes and thickets."
And like they're wearing suits, like it just looks stupid. So Jim goes over to Oscar and he asks him if he saw the memo about the birthdays. And Oscar is like sarcastic, like, "Oh yeah, that'll save a lot of time."
Yeah,
or, you know, something.
Well,
because like
Oscar's being affected.
Yeah, it's his birthday too. So Jim, like, thinks that Oscar agrees with him. Like, he doesn't get
the... And you just see Pam in the background, like...
Oh. Of all the people not to get sarcasm, Jim.
Right?
It's kind of fun. So then we go back to the woods. Dwight is spinning Mike around to disorient him. And then gives him the knife and duct tape. And, like, just takes off, bolts out. So Meredith asks Jim now for her own cake. Devil's food cake, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And you know, Jim's like, "Yeah, sure, whatever."
And she's like, "Yes."
Yeah. And then Creed bangs on the window of the break room and like motions for Jim to come out. And like they're in the hallway talking, and Creed is talking through his teeth.
Yeah.
"This is the way it's gonna be, Jim." He's talking low and like angrily.
I don't like devil food cake.
Yeah. He goes, "I want my own. I want pie. I want a nice peach cobbler."
Yeah.
And because it's my birthday. Fuck Meredith. It's not her birthday.
In so many words, that's literally what he said.
And then Jim's just like, "Oh, okay." Jim like acquiesces. After making the rules, he's now acquiescing to these people. So we go back to the woods, and Michael is setting up a camera for, like, a video diary, trying to be Bear Grylls, like I said.
Ugh.
And he's, like, doing this BS about the sun in the sky, and he's using buzzwords that you would hear on, like, a survival show.
Yeah.
And he's cutting his pants into shorts because of the heat.
Oh, because he says, like, the sun is in the 2/3 easterly
quadrant. And then he's like, which means it must be, and he looks down at his watch, he goes, 2:30.
Yeah.
So he's, like, cutting his pants into shorts. And he says, "I hope I don't cut my carotid artery."
Yes. But meanwhile, we see a pullback of the camera, and Dwight is in the woods with him.
He's, like, on his gut, like, on his belly in the woods, behind a tree, watching Michael.
And he's like, I will not interfere. I will not let... I will let harm come to him. I will even let him die, but I will not let him lose his dignity.
Which is the last thing he's saving at this point. So, Michael shows off his shorts now to the camera, and he uses the extra fabric that he cut off for hats...
And a kerchief.
And a kerchief. So then we go back to the office, and Andy, who doesn't have a birthday at all, just asks Jim for a Fudgy the Whale cake.
Yep, an ice cream cake.
Which has become a kind of tradition in our family. I mean, starting from this show, because I didn't know what the fuck Fudgy the Whale was.
Yeah.
I think...
It all started from this show. One of our brothers got... He asked our mother for a Fudgy the Whale cake for his birthday.
He was young. What was he, 14?
No.
If this was 2008, let's say it's 2009. That's 10 years ago.
He was 16,
I think.
He was 16 or 17. Yeah. He was in his late.
But he wanted a Fudgy the Whale cake as like a joke.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize how fucking small.
It was tiny. My mom got it and she's like, I got another ice cream cake and this is just for you because it's not going to feed the rest of the family. So he got a Fudgy the Whale cake for himself.
God, so ridiculous. So, but like Jim is like annoyed by Andy and he's just like, I'm going to Michael's office. Leave me alone. And he goes into Michael's office to work and avoid bullshit. And we go back to Mike's video.
Well, Andy also asked for pizza rolls and mushroom caps.
Mushroom caps. So Michael, we go back to his video diary, and he says he's totally alone. And while he's saying this, the video crew catches him yelling, I wish I went with Ryan!
Yep.
Jan has plastic boobs! I have hemorrhoids! He's yelling these things into the woods. And you know, we see Dwight, he's leading the camera crew, and he steals a bird's nest for food. He's got the eggs, and he's going to cook those for food. Now, back to the Michael video diary, like which is weird that they have his video diary as to play on the show. Once again, you know, I'm just saying, like, the camera crew thing, like, there's these things, like, remember we talked about the Jan, or the Pam and Jim flashback that they do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they do these things where they don't keep in with, like, the tight spirit of a documentary, you know what I mean? Like, they include these other things.
I mean,
there's no way Mike would ever give that over.
No, not the hemorrhoids.
Like, that's what I mean. He's yelling all these things that I think no one can hear. So, like, that kind of stuff, like, tests the basis for the show, you know what I mean? That's, like, it's a little thing, but it, like, it's a trifling thing, but it's annoying to me.
It's still amusing, though.
It's amusing, but it's funny because, like, it's the video, like, his video cam is not the one that catches that. It's the show's cam.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that they keep showing this video diary stuff, you know, it's just, I don't know, it just bothers me to a point.
Okay.
Because I'm a tight ass about that stuff.
You are.
So, God, where the fuck are you? Oh, Michael's making a spear because he duct taped his pants back together.
Because he got chilly.
Yes. And now he's making a spear to impale an animal for dinner because it's been about 3 hours since he ate.
Oh my God.
And it's starting to get to him. So as he's whittling the spear, he sings Happy Birthday to Creed, his buddy.
He does, and he does the high harmony.
Yes. Oh, God, the piercing noise.
Ugh.
So now everyone in the office is complaining about birthday month in the break room. And Sam even says he took extra insulin in preparation for cake.
And, if I don't have some cake soon, I'm going to die.
Yes. So,
and somebody goes, why don't you just eat an apple? And he just like scowls at them.
He's just like, mind your own business. I want fucking cake. So Jim walks in. And this is when Creed says, Jim didn't walk in yet. But Creed says Jim doesn't care about like... combining
everybody's
their birthdays
birthday
because
yeah.
he already celebrated his birthday the month before.
Yeah.
And you know, this is when Jim enters and Creed says, we're not talking about anything. Come on, gang.
Yeah.
And he leaves the break room and no one follows him. But he's like so like fucking like,
he's a
union leader or something, yeah. So we go back to the woods and Michael builds a tent or a shelter with his pants and jacket.
Yeah.
And he's laying there with his head against a bush or a tree stump. And we go back, and Dwight is watching him through the scope of a rifle. And he's like, oh, it's okay, I'm just watching him. You know, the safety is... And then he feels it. He's like, hey, click, the safety is on. Now we go back to the office, and Toby goes into the office where Jim is in Michael's office. This is the best part of the episode, I think. So he wants to be a part of it because Michael scheduled his birthday for 4:58 on a Friday last month.
And people sang to him in the parking lot. But I love how at first he's like, oh, I like the idea of
Jim's like, oh, great, awesome. Yeah.
Just so that he could get in there.
Yeah. And then Jim does a talking head where he rips Toby.
Well, he's
and
like, I love Toby. Toby's great. Toby's great. But
sometimes it can be a little much. Meh, meh, meh. Well, guess what, Toby? Nobody cares. Yeah. And like he becomes Michael
he for does.
Like he realizes Toby's an asshole. It's so great. And like Angela then comes in and she refuses to include Toby.
Yeah, she's like, I am not a machine.
Yeah, and she's bitching and she's like, I already got Fudgy the Whale Cake. And we see Andy do
I a got fist mushroom cats.
Andy does like a fist bump. Yeah. Yeah. And she's going through, she's like, I got a cobbler, a pie, a devil's food cake, mushroom caps. And that's when Toby goes, I'm allergic to mushrooms.
Yeah.
And Jim's just like, fuck it. He just goes out, he's going to talk to everyone. And Pam's like, well, maybe we should meet in the conference room in 5 minutes. He goes, yeah, let's go. And he catches. He's like, no, we're going to do it right here. I'm not going to become Michael. And that's when Phyllis slips and calls him Michael.
Yeah, she raises her hands and she's like, so Michael, I mean Jim.
And Jim dies a little.
Oh, inside. My God. His soul left his body for a moment.
Just Jim, like, because you never see him, like, lose his cool. Yeah. And he's just like, well, guess what, Toby? Nobody can, like, he gets, like, all animated bitching about Toby. So then we go back to the woods, and Michael sees some mushrooms that he's going to eat. And we go back and
Dwight, but he's on his camera like, oh, these are very nutritious yeah, to eat.
He's like, oh, these are nature's bounty.
Yeah.
And we see Dwight look at the camera like, no. And he runs like a CIA agent taking mm-hmm. a bullet for the president. He tackles Mike. He's like scooping the mushrooms out of his mouth. So we go back, and Jim is in the office. They're all in the break room or in the conference room. Jim is holding a cobbler
yep.
with candles in it for Creed, and everybody's singing. And at, like everybody's kind of like down, like happy birthday.
Yeah.
And as they're going through, Michael comes in a Battlestar Galactica sweatsuit.
Yes,
and he's like, happy birthday to you. And then he's like, sprint around, dance around, and Creed starts doing a jig, yeah. and everybody's all happy. It's like,
fucking and he's like, no, stop, stop, don't ever do that again.
And then the mood of the whole office changes. Like everybody's like happy now. Creed mm-hmm. has his cobbler, and so, oh, where am I in my notes? I lost myself. Okay, so Jim, everybody's like sitting on the side. Everybody's milling about. Andy's yeah. eating his Fudgy the Whale.
God damn it.
Creed is like shoveling this entire cobbler. Casserole ditch yeah. of dish
oh
of
my
cobbler.
God.
And Mike, you know, Jim's like talking to Mike and he's like, oh, I tried to do, you know, the combined birthdays.
Month.
And Mike's like, oh, that's a rookie mistake.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, you'll figure it out.
And we find out that Michael tried to do that when he first started as manager. Yeah.
And that's when Jim says, I don't think I'll be here in 10 years. And Michael says the most disheartening, like, punch to the nuts thing.
Yep.
He goes, that's what I said.
Yep.
And Jim's face just, like, drops. Like,
yeah.
Oh, God. God. I think we've all had that moment where we're like, I won't be here. And then, like, 2 years later, you're like, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
It's brutal. It's heartrending.
Yeah, it is.
So, Michael...
But I like, because Michael's like a real person here, because he's like...
He's normal! They,
he's
like,
oh,
I want
yeah,
to talk
well,
about that.
I do that because, you know, it lightens the
mood. Well, that's
mood.
What he because he says, after he says, that's what I said, and Jim's face, and then Michael goes, that's what she said. And, like, Jim's like, who? He
yeah.
goes, I don't even know. I say, that's what she said. I say it to lighten the tension when things get hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim says, that's what she said. And Michael's just like, oh! He gets like, oh!
He does.
He's like, oh! Well done, my young ward. Which is something like I imagine Adam West saying,
right.
like Batman. And that's the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Now, tell me what you think.
All right. I rated this a 2.9. It did have its funny parts.
Parts.
The overall whole episode, I really didn't like the Survivor Man portion of it.
Stupid.
I feel like it was a very weak storyline.
This is what I put. Filler episode.
Yeah.
This is like, okay, we got another week to do here. Let's just like, let Steve Carell go in the woods and say embarrassing shit.
Yeah. I mean, Dwight was hilarious.
Dwight was okay,
time.
Yeah.
Cooking the eggs, showing all the hidden weapons around. The size behind the water cooler got me.
Rescuing Michael when he said he wouldn't.
Yeah. But I have a question. Do you think Jim will be a manager at Dunder Mifflin, considering today's experience with everyone? I mean, because he would
maybe
for
not this
position.
Branch. Maybe not this branch. Because I think he realizes like everybody has their idiosyncrasy. I can't even say that word. Idiosyncrasies,
mm-hmm.
and they're all a little touched.
Yeah,
all a little weird. They have their own thing, and like that's the thing is like when you go into a place where people are entrenched,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. Because a lot of these people, I mean. Been there for years.
Yeah.
There's a way of doing things. This is how we do it. It, you know, it's like an Anchorman.
This
is
how we do it.
This was fucking bullshit. Hated this episode. But it's like an Anchorman. It's a pancake breakfast. We do it every month.
Yeah.
Don't rock the boat, Ron. You know? And, like, that's what I take away from it. I take it away from, like, maybe it's not going to – maybe Jim won't want to go for a management position, but maybe he'll – attack it differently next time. It's like a learning experience.
So you think he'll stay within Dunder Mifflin?
Yeah, I do. I mean, maybe not long term.
Scared straight.
Yeah. Well, it happens. I mean, I think that happens with everybody's job when they go in and they think it's going to be one way and it's a totally different way.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, these people, like, they get tired of Michael's bullshit. Like, I'll be more of, like, the cool guy. And, like, his first order of business is immediately a failure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, this episode sucked. 2.4 I gave it, by the way. Like, well below average, I think.
It's below average for the season, I will say that.
Yeah, this season's been okay, and season 3 was really good, especially the end of season 3.
Yeah.
Like, we've had, like, solid, like, 3.5s to 4s, and this episode just didn't feel... This felt like...
This was the first 2 I've given since, I think, the beginning of season 3.
This is bad, man. Like,
it wasn't
funny. Nothing that was accomplished.
We've had episodes where we've been like, you know, it wasn't stellar, but it was still good. This one, it was like, it wasn't good, but it wasn't terrible.
They took it to a place that didn't mean anything. Like, literally, yeah. Like, there was no reason, like, that Michael's, like, okay, this all stems from going in the woods, like, he didn't go with Ryan.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I mean. It was a weak premise.
It's not even, like, if anything like that, he should be looking to, like, start his own retreat with other people. Mm-hmm. Instead, he does, like, this weird thing where he's like, I can do it by myself. Like,
yeah.
That's a jump in the logic of the character.
Yeah.
That just, I just don't buy.
But then for him to come back and be a normal person at the end.
Yeah, like, his personality.
I liked seeing him as the normal person.
I said this, I think it was 2 episodes ago, maybe. I forget what episode it was, where he was a normal person. And I was like, normal Michael is, like, endearing and, like, yeah, fine. And it's like, okay, if you want to put, like, he's, like in the beginning when I said he's politically incorrect.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, he says things that he shouldn't say, but much less feel. But, like, then that he takes the zaniness to the crazy level. But, like, I don't understand how he goes from, like, cutting his pants and eating poisonous mushrooms to just, like, ah, Jim, how's it going, man? It's a good day, rough day at the office.
Yeah, I said
like,
that 10 years ago, too.
Yeah, it's just, like, this jump that, again, like, sometimes the jumps that Michael, the character take, are just, they just strain my believability. Like, because, like, sometimes you get lost in an episode. I think I said this for the money episode, where I was like, these are real people. Like, you buy into it, you're engrossed, you want to see where it goes. Like, then there's ones like this where you're just like, this is just a stupid comedy show today. Like, yeah. I'm just not buying it. Like, why is he in the woods cutting his pants
up? It's too extreme.
Yeah, it was too extreme. Like, it made him really seem like adult.
Yeah.
But then, at the end of the episode, he's, like, normal. Like, you would go into any office in America, and, like, he's the calm, cool, collected guy. Like, it's just a jump that I'm just... It was too jarring. I just didn't enjoy it.
Okay.
But, I mean, that's pretty much the long and short on that one.
Yeah, I didn't really have much on that one, to be honest.
Sorry, guys. We don't have much to talk about with that one. It's pretty lame. Like, we don't come across these too much, though, like, too often.
We really don't.
But, like, when there's a dud, it's just, like, I think you could hear it in our voice where we're just, like... we'll try and force a conversation about this. Rather, like, because, like, a lot of times I just want to move along and, like, move on to something else. So, I mean, we are going to move on now to episode
8. The Deposition.
And we will do that right after this. And I know just where to touch you. And I know just what to prove. Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to
thank our friends at Boneheads, Wingbar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaySpedition.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And thanks for joining us for the intermission slash halftime portion of the show. And this is the part of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at PlaceToBeNation.com. And I'm going to tell you what's going on over at the PTBN Pop Feed this week. As weekly, the Hard Traveling Fanboys continue Wing It Month as Nick and Greg offer up a lengthy review of the first three parts of the CW's Crisis on Infinite Earths. Also weekly, This Week in the NFL hits week. I say weekly a lot.
You are.
With Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast.
Wah, wah, wah.
On the newest Diamond Conversations, the eighth episode heads back to the Diamond with former Brewers pitcher and current free agent Tim Dillard. Andy's back with Ginny and Miranda to do a live watch of Charlie Brown's Christmas, completing the Peanuts Holiday Trilogy on the latest Laugh in Theater. On the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Glenn and Scott continue Star Wars Month on PTBN Pop with a whirlwind tour of the musical landscape of the franchise outside of the first two trilogies. On the newest episode of The Year in Pop, Andy, Scott, and John and Dr. G discuss the news, sports, TV, music, and movies of 1979. Also, be sure to check out the PTBN Wrestling feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Wrestling Warzone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Ginny and the Gyms, Body Press Your Luck, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, subscribe to Jennifer Smith's The Ginny Position. It is a new home for geek and sassy, talk and pop, free guy drive-in, telling stories, and more. On our social media pages, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament is now underway. We are in the opening play-in round. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like the tournament page on Facebook or follow on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. Sadly, my two dads fell
off. I mean, there's still, as of this recording, there's still 20 hours and 43 minutes left.
Going down.
But it's 88% to 12 on Twitter, and I know Facebook is not faring any better.
Coach has a surprise following.
Yeah, he does.
Be sure not to forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown on Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Polly's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Finally, for information on joining the GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project, visit our social media pages as ballots are now open and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Final ballots are due 12/31/19. Mare Bear, put
wow,
us over.
That was a lot, man. All right, guys. As always, you know we like to keep it light and funky and fresh over on our Twitter feed. I hope you guys all enjoyed our Christmas episode that we went up last weekend right before Christmas. But if you guys don't know where to follow us, please look us up at Brosis Podcast on Twitter.
Yes.
And you can also send us your feedback if you don't have a Twitter, like I didn't up until this podcast. You can always email us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. We love hearing back from you guys. We love your feedback, even negative, positive, anything. We love interacting with you all. So hit us up once again on Twitter at brosispodcast and on Gmail at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Yes, and please, by all means,
share us around
with friends, family, coworkers, people you hate, enemies, nemesis. Nemesis? Nemesises?
Nemesi?
Yeah, nemesi, yes. People you don't like, whoever, share us around. Help this podcast grow. We're very happy with the progress we've made as a
And all the support.
We think we've evolved as podcasters, that we've become more natural behind the mic. We've become better.
I'd like to hope.
I think so. I think we've become different. We've evolved, like I said. And I think the show is it's worth listening to for people out there. So if you want to share us around and help us grow this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it. It would mean a lot to us. And I guess that's it. I guess we put ourselves over. It's time to talk about the next episode, which is...
Absolutely. We are season 4, episode 8, The Deposition. So we have our cold open. Michael is in a meeting with the accounting team in the conference room, and Pam walks in, and she brings a post-it note, and she shows it to Michael, and he says, oh, no, I'll call them back.
Mm-hmm.
So then Pam is in a talking head, and she explains that she did it once. She brought in a post-it note with somebody's name that called in into a meeting once, and Michael freaked out, and so now he makes her do it every single meeting. And they show a little montage of him with the sales team, and all it is just saying hi.
Yes.
Or good morning. And then there's one of him eating lunch with Jan, and it's just a smiley face.
And she's impressed.
Yeah, because he's like, no, I don't have time for that. Tell them I'm in a meeting. And, like, Jan's like, oh, wow. Yeah,
swinging that thing around, yeah.
Look at you, Michael, prioritizing me as the woman in your life. Like, she's super pumped.
Mm-hmm.
And, then we see Michael's in a meeting with Ryan, and Pam comes in. It's like a hot dog that says, hiya, buddy, on it.
It's a hot dog and a bun. It's hilarious.
And he's like, no. Tell them I'm in a meeting. I'll call them back. And he tries to make it like, oh, they're our most important clients.
Yeah.
And da-da-da-da-da. And Ryan's like, no, customer service comes first. Take your call. And Ryan forces him to take it to an empty phone line. Because he's like, Pam, put the call through. And she goes over and taps on the phone. And he just goes, hiya, buddy. And that's our cold open.
Yep.
So we have the show proper. Is that what you always refer to?
That's what I say.
Yeah,
the show proper.
Yes.
Or bean. Anyway.
So we have Jan and Michael, and they are driving in the car. And Michael is explaining to the camera that they're going to New York to Dunder Mifflin corporate office to be deposed for Jan's wrongful termination lawsuit against them. And he says that she said it's because she augmented her boobs. And she's like, well, actually, it was a pattern of disrespect and inappropriate behavior. And Michael goes, if she wins, Jan, tell him how much you're going to win. She goes, that's tacky. She will win $4 million if she wins this lawsuit against Dunder Mifflin. And Michael goes, that's why he's memorized Jan's story. And she's like trying to play it off like, no, He's just saying I've helped him articulate the truth of what happened.
His mnemonic devices, he's coming up with sentences that barely sound like what he's supposed to say.
I couldn't even
Jan's like, that works for you? He's like, yeah, like a charm.
Yeah, it does. And so now Michael the whole time is like arguing like a toddler. Like, oh, I'm hot. Let's put the top down. Can we put the top down? I'm getting nauseous.
And he's like, arr!
Yeah, and she's like, no, Michael, my hair. Like, it's fine. And finally he's just like, I'm going to throw up. And she pulls over and she puts the top down. Then we see them back at corporate office. We see Jan, her lawyer, assumedly, and Michael. And she's brushing her hair.
Yeah, it's like all over. It's like D-Snyder.
Dude, oh my God. And Ryan walks out, and he asks to talk to Michael, you know, off the record, as a friend.
Yeah, because...
And, of course, Michael's like, I would love that.
I am your friend.
Yes. So he's basically just playing a mind game with Michael. He's like, you know, I would really love it if we could keep Dunder Mifflin out of this.
I love how Ryan is, like, the consummate company guy now. All he did was tear down the paper business. Like, remember business school?
Yeah. Just, he said within 5 years it was going to be...
That was
nothing.
Only a total of maybe 12 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, the paper industry will die. Dunder Mifflin will not exist. And now he's like, don't hurt the company, Michael.
Yeah.
He's like Mr. Paper Company.
Oh, that's because he's got that corporate salary. He's living in New York City. He's
but it's not going to last, according to him. That's the
funny
thing.
No, but he'll get the experience to go to a different company. At least I hope that's what Ryan is planning on. And so Michael's like, no, I would do anything for the company. So we go back to the office, which, assumedly, because Michael's out, Jim is in charge of.
This might be the worst B-plot they've had in, like, 2 seasons. And I mean, the only funny part, the spoiler, is Kelly.
Yeah.
That's the only funny part. Everything else is garbage.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sorry.
No,
I don't mean to interrupt that.
It's fine. No, hey, man, it's like how you feel, man.
Hey, dude. Okay, go ahead.
So Jim and Daryl are playing ping pong in the warehouse because they just got a new ping pong table last week. And we see Pam and she's like, oh yeah, I bring my 12-year-old boyfriend juice sometimes while he's playing.
Well, she doesn't say it like that. She goes, my boyfriend's down here playing ping pong and sometimes I bring him juice. She's got like Sunny Delight.
Yeah.
She goes, my boyyfriend's 12.
Yeah.
She doesn't say my 12-year-old. That'd be a weird sentence.
Fine. But anyway, and then we see Kelly, like, oh, who's got skinny legs and sucks at ping pong? It's not my boyfriend. She's trashed. Well, Pam says that Kelly trash talks her, but Kelly explains that it's smack talk because it's happening in real time.
It's in the present.
Yeah. And so Pam then, you know, Jim is losing pretty badly, pretty atrociously. And Kelly goes on more.
He needs steroids just to watch baseball. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of them that are, like, really funny. I only wrote
Who are your parents' first cousins that were also bad at ping pong?
That one's great. Yeah. Love that one.
So Pam takes Jim to the conference room because she wants Jim to practice so that he can beat Daryl. Because Kelly's smack-talking her.
So she puts, like, bubble wrap as a net across, like, the conference table.
And then she goes out and she gets Kevin to go in and play.
And I love they open up the door and Kevin's just like, awesome!
Yeah, and then Pam puts up a sign that says, meeting in progress. Yeah. So then we go back to Dunder Mifflin.
New York.
We go back to the corporate offices. And the Dunder Mifflin lawyer and Toby walk out.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael freaks out. He's like, no, never.
Why is he here?
And he literally refuses to speak until he leaves. And he goes, oh, what are you here for, Toby? To renew your divorce vows before my deposition?
And I love Toby. I'm here to help you. I'm on your side.
I'm on your side, Michael. I'm your HR rep.
Such a whiny bitch. God, he's such an Eeyore.
So now we're in the deposition room, and it's Michael, Toby, who's like three seats away from Michael.
He's separated from everybody.
Yeah. And then Jan and both lawyers, a mediator, a stenographer.
Is David Wallace in the corner, too?
We don't see
David Wallace in the corner. Sorry.
No, that's fine. But so then Jan is saying and I'm talking and like people underestimate Michael. He's above average in quite a few things. He's an above average ice skater.
It just cuts
like
off.
That's what it is. Gee, that's the only thing you can say he's above average in that so comes awesome. To your head. So then we're back at Scranton Dunder Mifflin and Pam is gets Kevin to play with Jim and then we go back into New York City, Dunder Mifflin, where the lawyer, Jan's lawyer, is deposing Michael, saying, how long have you known Jan Levinson? How long have you worked under her? Or have you worked under her the whole time?
Well, before that, Michael, like, because they do the opening statement or whatever, mm-hmm. and Michael's pneumatic devices work because he repeats everything he said in the car.
Oh, yeah,
A pattern of disrespect.
Inappropriate behavior and disrespect. And he goes, very well stated,
Michael. Yeah, like, he's a good boy.
Yeah, like, here's your treat, boy.
The goodest boy.
So then he goes on to ask, again, like I said, how long have you known Jan Levinson? Have you worked under her that whole time? And Michael goes, that's what she said. And it really confuses everybody, and they're like, who said that? Who said what? What are you talking about? He's like, that's what she said.
And then Michael gets confused.
Yeah.
It becomes like, who's on first, like an Abbott and Costello routine.
So then the stenographer has to read it back, and Jan's like, he was making a joke, can we just move along? And they're like, well, who is he saying? Said what? Yeah. Like, it was ridiculous. So then the lawyer says...
Well, when the stenographer reads it back, Michael goes, the delivery's all wrong, you're butchering it.
The lawyer says, why does Jan Levinson believe that she was fired? And Michael goes, how can I put this delicately? The twins. And he's like, excuse me? They hang off me lady's chest and make milk.
He says this in public.
Yes. On record, under oath. Yes. And the guy's like, okay, her breast. All right. And he said, do you believe that your relationship played a part in her getting fired? And he said, if so, the company breaks their own rules, and he shows their framed love contract.
My favorite is when he brings up, he goes, oh! Yeah, he does a gasp, like the whole room is just like went off in a courtroom. It's hilarious.
So then the Dunder Mifflin lawyer says, sir, do you recognize this? As she slides the picture from Jamaica Sandals with Jan laying down.
Sandals Jamaica.
Sandals Jamaica.
Jamaica Sandals sounds like something.
Oh my God. You are just a grammar hog tonight.
There's things that you mistake. Like when you say Dunder Mifflin, we're at two different locations.
All right. I'm sorry. The sandals photo where Jan is laying down topless. And then Michael screws up the timeline of the relationship, saying, like, well, that was 2 years ago. Yeah. And if you count when I shook her hand for the first time, it was, like, 6 years ago. First time we kissed, like, 6 months before that. And first time we kissed sober. And Jan's just, like, fuming. Mm-hmm. Can feel the heat through the TV screen. So now we're back at...
Well, that's when the lawyer asks him, so are you saying you're... A relationship started before you reported it to Dunder Mifflin, and Michael just goes, line.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what? And the mediator. This guy looks, you know, he looks like the publisher from Elf.
Oh my God.
What's it, Greenway or whatever? Mm-hmm. He looks like him at the end of the table. He goes, he said line, like in a play.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
I fucking love that.
So we're back at Scranton, and... Like, Meredith's walking out of the conference room.
She lost to Jim.
Yeah, she lost to Jim. Which, I mean, yeah, good job, Jim. Pat yourself on the back.
Does she still have a broken pelvis? Right? You beat a handicap woman.
So now, Dwight goes in. He's like, what is going on here? And Jim explains, well, there's a high-profile client that I have to beat at ping pong. Otherwise, we lose their business. So, of course, Dwight's like, fine, we'll play. And then he explains that all of his heroes are ping pong players.
I'm glad he goes through these names.
Zoran Primorac, Jen Orv Waldner.
You wrote these down.
Wong Tao, Horg Roscoff, Ashraf Henley. They're all real people.
You looked these up?
I looked up each one. That's why I wrote them down. They are all retired.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Wait, hold on. They retired?
They're
like
retired.
They made a living off of
them. Yeah, they're retired.
That's hilarious.
Okay? That's why I'm like, there's no fucking way.
I just imagine they, like, retire their paddles at, like, ping pong arenas.
It's like Forrest Gump. That's all I think about. They've got cardboard cutouts of themselves in their living room. Like.
Jen Ike.
So, now we go back to corporate, and Michael's explaining that he had an on-and-off relationship with Jan for 2 years. He knows that that destroys his case, but it is what it is. And then Jan's lawyer breaks out his journal. Michael goes, what are you doing with my diary?
He calls it a diary.
He does. And that's what's funny. Is like the lawyer's like, Mr. Scott's personal journal. And he goes, why do you have my diary? Like he's like a teenage girl.
Since some of you transcribed what they read.
Parts of it.
Okay, me too.
Dear diary, just got back from Jamaica. Tan everywhere. Tee hee.
Yeah, he right said it.
Jan everywhere. And then he goes on to explain that Jan and Michael had sex six times, but that he doesn't know what they are to each other, but he's pretty sure that Jan doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
So then the Dunder Mifflin lawyer goes, well, that's basic discovery. We need copies made for review.
But he signs it. He signs
it. Oh, yeah. XOXO, yeah, Michael.
Talk to you tomorrow. Yeah. XOXO. Like, I just imagine he's like got a Lisa Frank.
Right.
Like one of like those unicorn fucking diaries.
He's got a lock on
He's laying upside down on his bed. His feet are like crossed at the
yes!
back.
Yes!
And he's like, oh my God, dear diary.
Exactly.
Fucking hilarious.
So now they ask for 10 copies to be made for everybody to review.
On lunch.
And then Toby goes, make it 11, please. Just to throw some salt in the wounds of Michael's psyche. So then we go down to the cafeteria and everybody's on lunch. And Michael's looking around. Jan and her lawyer are going through the copies. David Wallace, Ryan, yep. That short dude next to them has one, is reading it. And Toby has one.
Toby's sitting by himself like a fucking Eeyore.
And so Michael walks over and he's like, all right. Can I sit here? And Toby's like, yeah, of course. And Toby is like trying to sympathize. He's like,
he has like this heartfelt conversation.
Listen, Michael, I understand the position you're in. When I was young, my parents got divorced and they both wanted me to testify against the other one because they both wanted custody. I love them both. I didn't even want them to get divorced though. And Michael's like, you could see his face just getting redder and redder.
He doesn't want
to
hear this shit.
He literally, like a cat, just slowly pushes Toby's tray off the table.
Toby doesn't do anything. Toby just lets him push his tray off.
He doesn't do anything.
And then he just goes, ah.
Yeah, he's like, Michael.
Fucking hilarious. And Michael just leaves.
Yeah. So then Michael goes to throw out his salad that he has. And Jan is up there. And he's just like, why would you do that to me? And she's like, Michael, we need this. I need this. I don't know. And he's just like, well, you brought it with you to New York. She goes, well, I was only going to, you brought out the photo, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're just bickering.
She goes tit for tat with, tit for tit, with the, because he exposed that picture of her to the world.
You sent it to the entire company. Yeah. And then, like, he's just like, I'm still mad at you. I love you. And she's like, I love you too. And they walk in separate directions. Yeah. So we're back in the deposition, and the lawyers are asking if he's romantically involved with this person, Ryan, who he describes as hot as Jan, but in a different way.
And Toby giggles.
Toby is laughing his ass off. And Michael's like, listen, Jan didn't consider us together, even if I did. Like, she didn't do, it didn't affect her in any way, blah, blah, blah. And then we find out that Jan wrote a terrible, like, yearly review on Michael, like, a month after they got together.
The company reads it, right? Yeah. No, Jan's lawyer. No.
No, it's Dunder company, Mifflin, yeah. And she reads the whole thing and basically is like, I'm out of carrots, I'm out of something.
Carrots gold. And sticks to, like, yeah.
to lure him to actually do his job. Yeah. And she recommended that he get demoted to sales where he belongs.
Yeah. That was a month after they signed their love contract.
Yeah. Yeah. And Michael is obviously very upset.
Yeah.
He looks like he's about to cry. Mm-hmm. So now we see Jim and Dwight still playing ping pong at Dunder Mifflin Scranton. And Dwight is literally checking his phone and still beating Jim. Yeah. Like, Jim is pathetic. So then Pam walks in and Jim's like, all right, I think I'm ready to beat Daryl. And Dwight goes, no, you dumbass. Yeah, Daryl works here.
You dumbass. He's the way he says dumbass is so great.
Dumbass. So condescendingly. So now Michael is still upset with Jan. We're back at Dunder Mifflin Corporate. And Jan's like, can I respond? And they're like, yeah, but it's on the record. So, like,
and she, like, tries to, like, tell him, like, this company is against you.
Yeah, I'm not the enemy. Dunder Mifflin is. And Michael's like, no, Dunder Mifflin's always been loyal. And that's when we find out that David Wallace's testimony or disposition,
they bring it out.
He was not ever a serious candidate. Yeah, they ask, was he a contender for Miss Levinson's job? And he goes, yes. Was he a serious contender? What do you want me to say? He's a nice guy. And, you know, like, basically saying, like, no, he's a dumbass. He was never seriously considered.
Yeah, we just brought him in to run through the motions.
Exactly. And, but I mean, like, was he a top contender? What do you want me to say? Was he a top five? He's a nice guy. Like, yeah, he just kept doesn't trying wanna, to bat around
because he knows that this testimony could come out, so he doesn't want to shit all over Michael.
Yeah.
But in a way, he's just like, no.
Yeah. So then Michael, after hearing this, says, the company does not display a pattern of disrespect towards its employees.
Mm-hmm.
And Jan is stunned.
Oh, yeah. Like, there goes her case gun.
Yeah, literally. So now we're back at Dunder Mifflin Scranton, and Jim and Daryl are playing, and Kelly is still smack-talking Pam.
Mm-hmm.
And Pam is just like, no, you know what? I'm done. Kelly, let's go. You and me right now. Volley for serve. They literally cannot get past I.
I?
Or no, oh. P-O. P-O. Oh, I thought they were doing ping. Pong. Sorry.
No.
That's how interesting it was.
Oh, God. I know. It's just like,
sorry.
Lame.
But yeah, they couldn't volley, so then Jim and Daryl go up to the conference room and play.
Yeah.
Because they were just doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're done with the deposition. Michael's packing up whatever he has.
The picture of Jan.
Yeah, the picture of Jan. And David Wallace walks over to Michael, and he apologizes. He says, we never wanted you to get in the middle of this. You know, I'm really sorry if this hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael goes, you know what, David? I think you're a nice guy, too. Out of everything David Wallace says, all he got out of it was that he thinks Michael's a nice guy. So now Michael's in a talking head, and he explains that Jan said that the photo was why she revealed the diary. But Michael says, but she already brought it with her to New York City. So you expect to get screwed by your company. You don't expect to get screwed by your girlfriend.
It's the truth.
Yeah. So then the ride home is like completely silent. And he's like, what do you want?
Such a downer.
He's like, what do you want to do for dinner?
They don't look at each other. They're like morose.
Yeah. And she's like, Chinese. And he's like, oh, I was thinking something cheaper. You know, got to save money. And she's like, Chinese was my cheap option. And then we see a little flash of the warehouse ping pong table. Dwight and Moe's with, like, goggles on, like the sport
like
glasses.
Like Prokhorov or whatever that guy's name is.
playing ping pong in an empty warehouse. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's how it ends. So what do you think, dude?
God, I'm looking at my grade here and I'm like, it might be too high. I have a 3.5.
3.5?
Yeah, and I'm like, after going through it, I'm like, I don't know, because literally half the episode is garbage. The ping pong stuff. I'm going to
I mean, the deposition was funny.
Give me a pen. You got a pen?
I do have a pen.
That's not a pen. You got someone here.
We're in my home office.
Anyway.
Got to be pens.
I'm
going to
mark this one. I'm just going to give it a 3. Because the deposition stuff was okay enough.
Yeah.
And, like, the Toby stuff was funny.
Yeah.
And Michael going, line. Like, the little things.
There's little one-liners that
that's what she said
thing. Get you through it.
Yeah. There was enough there that it was hee-hee, XOXO. Yeah. That stuff. Like,
hee-hee-hee.
That he's in love with Ryan and stuff. Like, there was enough there that it kept it moving. I was happy.
Yeah.
Like, it was good.
See, I gave it a 2.8.
I don't blame you at all. I probably could have gone lower, but, yeah, it's...
Like I said, there was funny parts. I love Toby just like bursting out laughing. Like, are you going to renew your divorce vows before my deposition?
We never see him show joy.
No.
So like, that was like a little teaser.
Exactly. Now, I do have a question for you, though.
What's that?
Well, this also helped move the Jan Michael story along, because we're only getting snippets, although she is a large part of his life now, his sugar baby. do you think Michael and Jan are going to survive this?
No, I don't. Because just that ride home. Yeah. And the fact that... Okay. I actually have this as a note. Trust issues.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when you're in a relationship, you have to trust the other person.
Yeah.
Jan went and got Michael's personal journal, diary.
Yeah.
She snuck it in.
Well, it was
because
under her side of the
Because the thing is, she has such a low opinion of him that she's like, I'm going to need this.
She knew he was going to fuck
up. Yeah, this is going to... So first of all, you have Jan who doesn't trust him, doesn't believe in him. Michael doesn't trust Jan.
Yeah.
At least now because of what she did. So you have a broken relationship here where, like, why are these people even together when they don't believe in or trust each other? Like, every time we see them, like this, they've been together for, what, 8 episodes this season now.
Yeah.
She's passed out in the bed face down. She's sniping at him as he comes out of his second job. Like, the only time you ever saw anything resembling a relationship was when Michael ran to the train. In the money episode. Other than that, it's just like the two, like she's putting up with him. He's just happy to be with a big chested woman. Like,
pretty much it. Yeah. Yeah. And this episode seems like the death. He's complained about her, like, to the ladies at the mall. Like,
oh, that's right.
Like, I'm not happy when I'm with her.
That's
like,
right.
So.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Didn't really have legs to begin with.
Yeah.
But we'll see where it goes.
It's just, like, the relationship is damaged. So, like, other than that, like, I'm like, what can I talk about? And I'm like, Ryan's barely in it. There's nothing with anybody else. Like, Jim and...
I do love David Wallace, though.
Jim, he's in a new commercial where he's like, it's some kind of corporate thing, and Phil Mickelson is his caddy, and they walk around the office building, and Phil's like, you should file that report or something. It's stupid.
God.
But I'm like, oh, that's David Wallace. He's doing this now. But, like, this... God, the ping pong thing was such shit. Like, the only funny thing was, like, some of Kelly's jibes.
Were your parents first cousins who were also bad at ping pong?
It's like, okay, we get it. Girlfriends are territorial. Mm-hmm. Kind of. Like, this isn't even a territorial thing. This is, my dad can beat your dad.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
It's just like, oh, they're being catty. Like, that's it. Like, I just didn't care.
I mean, there was the part where I skipped over because it was so minute, but, like, Pam is coming out of the bathroom and Kelly's going in. And Kelly just stands in the doorway until Pam, like, moves to the side. And she's like, yeah, that's what I thought. Like, all ghetto. Like,
yeah, they just, like, stare at each other. They just stare down a Mexican standoff at the toilet.
Yeah, basically.
It's just, I don't know. This episode just, the deposition was okay enough, but everything else was shit.
There's left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, that's right. Yo, when's the last time we had two episodes where we were just both, like, blah? Like, season one, maybe? Like, I feel like season one, maybe, was the last time we had a bunch of, like, twos.
Yeah.
Where we just, like, didn't have anything. Like, I have no spirit.
Was there anything in season three?
Yeah, they're probably. I don't think there was back to back. You know what I mean?
I think
there was always like a 3.5, and like if there was a 2, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I think the lowest we had for season 3, if I'm looking at it correctly, the coup. But you loved the coup. I didn't.
Did I?
Yeah, you gave it a 4.
Fuck me. All right, but like this is the thing. Is like
it's season 1 or season 2.
This is a horrible time to hit 2 duds.
Yeah.
Because it was going so great. Like, from the middle of season 3 till now, it's been great.
But I think we will get some redemption next week.
I hope so, because I don't even have the spirit to talk about much more. Like, no, I don't. This episode either. Is just like, I got nothing. I got nothing. I wish I did, but I don't, you know?
Yeah. Ah. I got nothing either, dude.
What do we
I'm
got?
Sorry.
Okay, what do we got next week? We're starting off the new year.
New year!
New me or something.
Okay, yeah, same, we'll go with that.
New year, same shit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still on my bullshit. All right, so we're starting off the new year which I'm very excited for. Okay. I've been looking forward to this.
This is one that Mary has been talking to me privately about. I don't recall this episode.
I have not told him anything about it. I've just expressed my excitement.
All she is like, I can't wait. Dinner party. Oh my God, dinner party. Fap, 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 dinner party. And like,
wah, wah, wah.
I have no idea what, I don't remember this episode. It sounds like it's going to be a classic.
Oh my God.
The way you're building it up, maybe you're building it up too much. We're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, but I haven't told you anything about it except other than I like it.
For a month now, you're like, season 4, fucking dinner party, fuck, shit, it's going to be fucking great. Oh my God.
How much you guys want to bet Kevin's going to be like, you built it up too much, I don't like it anymore.
No, maybe I will like it if it's that good. If it's as good as Ben Franklin.
It is.
Okay, so that's episode 9.
And then episode 10, the chair model.
No, oh, actually, I have a vague recollection of that one. And I think it's stupid, if it's what I think it is.
We'll see.
Do you have an opinion on it? You don't have to give spoilers or anything, but, like, what's your opinion on that one?
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
That's like, my normal...
That's your wheelhouse?
Yeah.
And you get to cover the dinner party one, too.
I do.
Like,
the stars and the planets have aligned, like, Hercules
Something tells
movie.
Me you would have, like, begged to cover it anyway, regardless of how it ended up.
It's just how it happened, man. No, no, I would have let you because I literally don't think I even need notes that I can just...
Is that good, huh?
Yeah.
That favorite, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this week, guys. As we asked for before, earlier, share the show around if you would so be so inclined. We'd greatly appreciate it. We love all of you listeners. We appreciate the listens, the downloads, the interactions, the support, everything. It means a great deal to us. And if you want to pass that along and get other people involved, we would greatly appreciate that too.
Yes, and thank you guys. I know we thanked you last episode for a Christmas one, but thank you guys for an amazing year.
Yeah, as we ring in 2020.
Yeah, we are ending 2019 on a lower note than I think we would have wanted
to. Oh, this is
shit. But we're going to start 2020 on a high note, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you guys all so much. Again, make sure you reach out to us at BroSisPodcast on Twitter or send us some emails at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com.
Absolutely.
We appreciate all of the love and support you guys have given us so far and the hate. I'm looking at you, Mo Sean. But thank you all so much again. We can't express enough how much we appreciate it.
And we'll catch you guys next week.
Bye, guys.